Family is the most important thing to me. I am a wife and a mother of four beautiful children, and we like to spend a lot of time together. Last winter, I was finding myself with less and less energy. I didn't have any oomph to do anything. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't in any pain, but I sure was just tired. When I was laying on the couch, I couldn't even open my eyes. And when I did, my daughter had taped a note that she wrote onto her face and finally got me to open my eyes, and I could read it. It said, "I'm hungry and bored." And usually when I'm doing well, the things I do is I cook and we're playing and or doing something. So I went in and did some blood work, and then the very next morning I got a call saying, "Go into the hospital and just get your tests done, see what's going on."
I first met Susan with the rapid development of jaundice, which is a sign of liver failure, as well as signs of severe liver injury. Acute liver failure is a rare condition in which someone who has no previous existing liver disease becomes suddenly ill.
Her liver was severely injured, functioning at a tiny fraction of what the normal liver function would be. We expected that without a liver transplant, we thought Susan would have less than 7 days to live.
It was so fast that I didn't think about, like, last words for my kids.
And that really hit home a lot more, so.
Patients who have acute liver failure can be the very sickest patients in the hospital. And as in Susan's case, when there's no clear indication or reason why she had this, there's no way to reverse it. So without a way to reverse it, it's critical to find a donor quickly.
Susan was listed as a UNO status 1, the highest status, which is reserved for this rare category of rapidly progressive acute liver failure. Susan was lucky that she was listed very rapidly and that an appropriate organ offer was available for her in the time frame before she progressed to too sick.
It was the best news, and yet was not easy. He was able to tell us that it was a teenage boy. He was able to donate to a number of other people. So we were happy and we were sober.
As soon as we're determined that the organ is appropriate, basically Susan goes into the operating room. She's anesthetized. We would take her old, very diseased liver out. We immediately put the new liver in. Usually we can start seeing that it start making clotting factors and clearing toxins even while it's in the operating room. After liver transplant, people live pretty normal lives. Susan's doing very well. Within weeks after transplant, she was living a very full and robust life.
I'm now 9 months later. I am perfectly healthy. I am feeling better than I did before. We have heard that it's not always a possibility to be able to even meet a donor family, that sometimes you just write. And so we were absolutely thrilled when we found out that they had reached out to recipient families who might want to meet them.
In a small conference room inside the New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center, two moms meet for the first time. One has suffered incredible loss. Another was brought back from the brink of death. Both are bonded by a teen who's no longer here.
Having a family member die is always one of the very hardest moments in anybody's life. And I think that the families who have the strength to see past that moment and to give a gift to other families that are facing death, like Susan's family, to me is one of the best moments of our humanity.